Let's read together Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Now, in this last portion of the Gospel of Luke, we have another post-resurrection appearance of Christ and then the ascension of Christ. Let's begin by reading verses 36 through 43. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Let's begin our study of this last portion of the Gospel of Luke with some background notes. Luke records two post-resurrection appearances of our Lord. In the first half of this chapter, we had the record of the Lord's appearance on Resurrection Sunday afternoon to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And here in the second half of the chapter, we have the Lord's appearance on Resurrection Sunday evening to the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem. Notice from verse 33 that this gathering included the apostles and other disciples. We see from what the two disciples from Emmaus said in verse 34 that there was an earlier appearance on that Sunday to Peter, besides, of course, the early morning appearances to Mary Magdalene and the other women. This earlier appearance to Peter is only mentioned here and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 3. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," that is Peter, "then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verses 3 through 8. The term "the 12" here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, is an expression meaning the apostles, even though Judas is no longer among them. In the same way, here in Luke chapter 24 and verse 33, the term "the 11" is an expression meaning the apostles, even though we know from John chapter 20 that Thomas was not at this first Sunday night appearance to the disciples. So there were a number of post-resurrection appearances of our Lord. Remember from Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 that there were 40 days between the Lord's resurrection and his ascension. And during that time, the Lord made a number of appearances proving his resurrection. I'm reading Acts chapter 1, verse 3. "He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points with this last portion of the Gospel of Luke. Doctrinal point number one: the resurrection of Christ was a bodily resurrection. The resurrection of Christ was a bodily resurrection. We see from these verses that we just read that the resurrection of Christ was not just some spiritual resurrection. It was a bodily resurrection. The tomb was empty, and the Lord appeared bodily. Now, it's true that his resurrection body was different than his body before death, but it was a physical and material body. It was different in that his resurrected, glorified body was not subject to certain limitations like gravity and closed doors. We saw that the parallel account in John chapter 20 and verse 19 said that When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Notice it doesn't say that the Lord walked through the doors. They did not see the Lord stepping through the door, for example. No, the Lord appeared in their midst. The Lord in his resurrection body could assume different modes without physical limitations. But his resurrection body itself was a literal, tangible, physical, material body. Even though the disciples at first thought that they were seeing a ghost, the Lord assured them that they were not seeing a spirit, but that they were seeing him, alive and well and in a physical body. He invited them to touch him and see that the body they saw had material flesh and solid structural bones. Spirits don't have flesh and bones. Furthermore, he asked them for something to eat, and he ate a piece of broiled fish that they gave him. Ghosts don't eat. And no one later would be able to say that it wasn't real fish because they gave it to him. Now, there are two things that this text is not teaching. It is not teaching that broiled fish is the best health food going because the Lord ate it in his resurrection body. And it is not teaching that the Lord had to eat in his resurrection body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 indicates that believers in the future will have resurrected bodies, bodies that will be transformed to be like our Lord's resurrected body. Our resurrected bodies will be literal, tangible, physical, material bodies, because the resurrection of Christ was a bodily resurrection. Doctrinal point number two, the ascension of Christ was a bodily ascension. The ascension of Christ was a bodily ascension. Verses 44 through 51. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Verses 44 through 49 are probably a summary of our Lord's teaching to the disciples before his ascension, which comes in verses 50 and 51. We see from verse 45 that the Lord opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, specifically how they were Christ-centered scriptures. These would be the Old Testament scriptures, which at that time had three divisions: the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, verse 44. Verse 46 indicates that the Old Testament scriptures teach the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. Where? Read Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, for example. Let's read some verses from these passages. From Psalm 22, this is a messianic psalm, a well-known messianic psalm. Verse 16, "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Verse 22, here we begin the resurrection part of the psalm. "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." And from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Verse 9, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death." And now comes the resurrection here at the end of verse 10. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Verse 10 of Psalm 16, which is a messianic psalm, clearly predicts the resurrection of Christ. I'm reading Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 16, verse 10. Now in verse 47 of Luke chapter 24, we have the Great Commission to preach the gospel to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And in verse 49, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit to come with power. This, of course, took place at Pentecost. And then in verses 50 through 51, we have the ascension. Notice that the ascension of our Lord was bodily. I'm reading the ascension account from Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. From Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Lord ascended bodily, and he will return to this earth bodily. The ascension of Christ was a bodily ascension. Now what about practical application from this last portion of the Gospel of Luke? Make the Lord and his people the center of your activity. Make the Lord and his people the center of your activity. Verses 52 and 53. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Even though the Lord had departed from them, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with joy because they knew that Jesus was alive and that they would see him again. And now they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, this does not mean that they quit their jobs and forgot about their responsibilities and just stayed at the temple around the clock singing and praying. No, it means that the temple became their center of activity because that's where the Lord's people were gathered and that's where the Lord was honored and praised by the believers. These things were top priority for the early Christians. This center of activity became the center of their social life as well as their religious life. Now, the same should be true in our lives as well. We have our jobs and responsibilities, and it's not wrong to have wholesome, secular interests, but we should make the Lord and his people a priority in our lives. Make the Lord and his people the center of your activity.